All right, Lee, I'm waiting, just wait for him to get off. And his press conference in New York?
No, in his decision, what he decided to do.
To call up the rest of the guard?
Yeah. And, he did it, and he taught curfew. I think he would have declared martial law if his attorney general had not made a press conference statement questioning the wisdom of doing so. But that doesn't mean that he also indicated to me that when he got there, he would look it over and he might decide to do it anyhow. He figures that, one thing that happened, when he got on the airplane, he knew that there one person had been killed. When he got off the airplane, we told him that the death roll was up to 17. Boy, that really sobered him, as it should. And he just...
Now it's up to 18.
Up to 18, I didn't know that. Well, he's,
558 injured and wounded.
Yeah. Boy, it's grim business, and by any standards, one of the, well, the most horrendous riots in American history. And he's acting like it is, you know, taking charge. The on every issue, the one about the use of planes, the one about the disaster declaration. One about the guard, about curfew. He seemed to me, and even the one about the use of federal troops. He had exactly the reaction that I would have had, the one that I think is correct. The use of federal troops, he said, well, we ought to be able to handle this ourselves. We're a great big state, and we got a lot of resources, and we'll do it, but what do you think will happen if I find out we can't do it? So I can't commit the President of the United States. There's only one fellow who can sign that proclamation, and that's the President. You just keep in touch with us and let us know. If you ever get the feeling that the situation is out of hand or is going to get out of hand, don't hesitate. Let us know right away. Now, one thing I did not tell him was the fantastic reaction time. It's so damn long. It's disheartening. So I don't know if he knows what it means when he tells us he's ready to go. That's one of the reasons.
It seems funny that we can't move Camp Pendleton Marines in less than 16 hours.
It seems unbelievable. Every damn time we go through one of these things, I always wind up writing a memo to Cy Vance or somebody saying, you know, can't we do better than this next time? And I always forget about it.
Why does it take 16 hours?
It beats the hell out of me why it takes 16 hours.
I mean, it doesn't take, can't they get 400 up and then get 300? They don't have to get them all together at one time. They could send them in as they get them outfitted.
Well, part of it is they're kind of cautious and conservative in their reaction times. They don't want to, you know, promise more than they can deliver. And then they always talk about the total number distinguished from the time the first one to start rolling in. And it just, you know, it's a hell of a long way, and they got to roll people, and they've always got to use supporting facilities. It's not just the actual guys themselves, but the service units that they have to go with them. But I agree with you. That's only kind of an explanation they give. It doesn't really persuade me.
Jack?
Yeah.
Jack.
Hold on just a minute, Joe. Just one second.
Get him signed on?
Oh, hold on a minute, Joe. One second. All right, Joe.
Jack, I talked to the Secretary of Defense.
Yes?
He very strongly joins with Abrams in recommending that the President honor the request of the National Guard to send those, to
all right,
those
then,
planes to transport.
All right, then move it forward.
All right, number two, he joins with Lee and me in recommending that we get a couple of guys out there. I suggested a guy from Justice. He said there ought to be a guy from Defense, too. We've got to have our own people out there.
What would they do? They'd just be assessors on the spot?
They'd be assessors on the spot. They'd be there to coordinate any assistance we might be giving, like this, these tear gas things, something like that. They'd be right next to Brown, and we'd be able to get an evaluation from our own people of what's going on.
All right, well then, what we've done now so far, General Abrams and Secretary McNamara both heartily approve the request of General Hill to send the C-130s to transport National Guardsmen from Northern California to Los Angeles.
C-130s are comparable.
Two C-130s are comparable aircraft. And that Ramsey Clark has said there's no legal objection to this.
That's correct.
And that this mere transportation of these men, and that's all.
Pardon me? Yes.
The mere transportation, and that's all.
That's right.
All right, well, fine. Well, then, but with that kind of recommendation, the President concurs then. And go ahead and let the Defense Department issue the orders necessary to do it.
Okay.
On the other point, Jack, there's an extra little argument that I think is compelling. Right now, we've got people from OEP who are in the area. We've got FBI agents. We've got some military people, all of whom are federal employees, and there's a United States attorney, etc. It makes a great deal of sense to have one federal official with some stature and standing who can clearly speak for the federal government with a single voice in that situation.
And Secretary McNamara thinks we ought to have somebody from Justice and Defense there.
Yeah, he said either Justice or the White House and Defense, and then I said I thought the White House got it too close to the President.
I said
he agreed, and I agree. And said it ought to be Justice and Defense.
Okay.
I would certainly think that Ramsey Clark is the right fellow, and be clear and unmistakable. He's a high-ranking fellow. He's sensible. See what's going on. He's a veteran of very successful exercise film.
And if Ramsey comes, we have a plane standing by in Nantucket that can bring him back here quietly.
Okay. Okay, my friend, I'll be in touch with you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.